2. Dead Goddesses, Watercolor. Apparently, I am pretty. Magic is all I see, and magic tends to be beautiful, so I have no way of properly judging the mundane myself. I have to take others' word for it. Men praise parts of me endlessly. Always the parts, mind you, never the whole. They love my long legs, my graceful neck, my storm of hair, my breasts, especially my breasts. Most of the men in shadow were almond, so they also commented on my smooth, near-black, marrow skin, even though I told them there were 500,000 other women in the world with the same feature. 500,000 is not so many measured against the whole world, though, so that always got included in their qualified, fragmentary admiration. Lovely, they would say. And sometimes they wanted to take me home and admire me in private. Before I got involved with godlings, I would let them, if I felt lonely enough. You're beautiful, Ori, they would whisper as they positioned and posed and polished me. If only... I never asked them to complete the sentence. I knew what they almost said. If only you didn't have those eyes. My eyes are more than blind. They are deformed, disturbing. I would probably attract more men if I hid them, but why would I want more men? The ones I already attract never really want me, except Madding, and even he wished I were something else. My house guest did not want me at all. I did worry at first. I wasn't stupid. I knew the danger of bringing a strange man into my home. But he had no interest in anything so mundane as mortal flesh, not even his own. His gaze felt of many things when it touched me, but covetousness was not one of them. Neither was pity. I probably kept him around for that reason alone. I paint a picture, I whispered, and began. Each morning before leaving for Art Row, I practiced my true art. The things I made for the row were junk. Statues of godlings that were inaccurate and badly proportioned. Watercolors depicting banal, inoffensive images of the city, pressed in dry tree flowers, jewelry. The sort of trinkets potential buyers expected to see from a blind woman with no formal training who sold nothing over 20 Mary. My paintings were different. I spent a good portion of my income on canvas and pigment and beeswax for the base. I spent hours when I really lost myself, imagining the colors of air and trying to capture scent with lines. And unlike my table trinkets, I could see my paintings. Didn't know why, just could. When I finished and turned, wiping my hands on a cloth, I was not surprised to find that Shiny had come in. I tended to notice little else around me when I was painting. As if to rebuke me for this tendency, the scent of food hit my nose, and my stomach immediately set up a growl so loud that it practically filled the basement. Sheepishly, I grinned. Thanks for making breakfast. There was a creak on the wooden stairs and the faint stir of displaced air as he approached. A hand took hold of mine and guided it to the smooth, rounded edge of a plate, heavy and slightly warm underneath. Warmed cheese and fruit, my usual, and I sniffed and grinned in delight. Smoked fish? Where on earth did you get that? I didn't expect an answer, and I didn't get one. He guided me over to a spot at my small work table, where he'd arranged a simple place setting. He was always proper about things like that. I found the fork and began to eat, my delight growing as I realized the fish was veli from the braided ocean near Nimero. It wasn't expensive, but it was hard to find in shadow, too oily for the almond palate. Only a few Sun Market merchants sold it, as far as I knew. Had he gone all the way to West Shaft for me? When the man wanted to apologize, he did it right. Thank you, Shiny, I said as he poured me a cup of tea. He paused for just a moment, then resumed pouring with the faintest of sighs at his new nickname. I stifled the urge to giggle at his annoyance, because that would have just been mean. He sat down across from me, though he had to push a pile of beeswax sticks out of the way to do it, and watched me eat. That sobered me, because it meant I'd been painting long enough that he'd gone ahead and eaten. and that meant I was late for work. Nothing to be done for it. I sighed and sipped tea, pleased to find that it was a new blend, slightly bitter, and perfect for the salty fish. "I'm debating whether I should even go to the row today," I said. He never seemed to mind my small talk, and I never minded that it was one-sided. It will probably be a madhouse. "Oh, that's right. Did you hear? Yesterday, near the Isha Whitehall, one of the godlings was found dead. Rolla. I was the one who found her. She was actually really dead." I shuddered at the memory. "Unfortunately, that means her worshippers will come to pay respects, and the keepers will be all over the place, and the gawkers will be as thick as ants at a picnic." I sighed. "I hope they don't decide to block off the whole promenade. My savings are down to fumes as it is." I kept eating and did not at first realize Shiny's silence had changed. Then I registered the shock in it. What had caught his attention? My worrying about money? He'd been homeless before. Perhaps he feared I would turn him out. Somehow, though, that didn't feel right. I reached out, found his hand, and groped upward until I found his face. He was a hard man to read at the best of times, but now his face was absolute stone, jaw tight and brows drawn and skin taut near the ears. Concern? Anger or fear? I couldn't tell. I opened my mouth to say that I had no intention of evicting him, but before I could, he pushed his chair back and walked away, leaving my hand hovering in the air where his face had been. I wasn't sure what to think of this, so I finished eating, carried my plate upstairs to wash, then got ready to head to the row. Shiny met me at the door, putting my stick into my hands. He was going with me.